Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. We Need to Talk About Inflation 14 Urgent Lessons from the Last 2000 Years is an economics book by Stephen D. King that examines inflation as a recurring historical and policy problem rather than a temporary anomaly, drawing on episodes from ancient Rome to modern central banking. King argues that inflation returns when governments, monetary authorities, and investors become too confident that it has been permanently tamed. The book is both a historical survey and a contemporary policy critique, written in response to the inflation surge that followed years of low rates, asset purchases, and reliance on models that treated rising prices as unlikely. Its purpose is to show how inflation emerges, why it is often misdiagnosed, and what happens when officials respond too slowly or with the wrong assumptions. Rather than offering a technical manual, it uses long-run history to expose patterns in policy mistakes, currency credibility, and the social consequences of rising prices. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, inflation as a recurring historical pattern, not a modern exception. A central claim of the book is that inflation should not be treated as a one-off shock tied only to recent crises. King places modern price surges within a 2,000-year historical arc, showing that inflation has appeared repeatedly under very different political and economic systems. This long view matters because it challenges the common belief that stable money and sophisticated central banking have made inflation a problem of the past. By tracing episodes from antiquity through early modern monetary disruptions and more recent wars and policy errors, the book shows that inflation tends to reappear when institutions lose discipline, scarcity meets excess demand, or governments rely on easy money to solve fiscal pressures. The historical argument is not just descriptive. It is used to warn readers that forgetting past episodes creates false confidence, and false confidence is one of the conditions that allow inflation to return in force. Secondly, why central banks misread inflation and called it transitory. The book strongly criticizes the way modern central banks and policy officials interpreted the post-pandemic rise in prices. King argues that many officials assumed inflation would fade quickly and return to target without requiring a major policy shift. That view, in his account, reflected a wider intellectual failure policymakers had spent decades focusing on deflation risks, low interest rates, and weak demand. So they were poorly prepared to recognize a new inflationary regime. He is especially interested in the gap between inflation models and real-world signals. When inflation accelerated, officials often attributed it to temporary disruptions, whether from the pandemic, supply bottlenecks, or geopolitics, rather than asking whether deeper monetary and institutional weaknesses were at work. The book uses this episode to show how official forecasting can become self-reinforcing. Since once a central bank publicly commits to a transitory narrative, it may delay the response needed to restore credibility. Thirdly, policy errors, fiscal expansion, and the erosion of currency credibility. King repeatedly connects inflation to policy failure rather than to simple bad luck. The book emphasizes that excessive monetary expansion, loose fiscal choices, and political pressure can undermine confidence in money even when authorities believe they are acting responsibly. Inflation is presented as a credibility problem as much as a price problem once households and markets doubt that policymakers will defend purchasing power. Expectations begin to shift in a self-fulfilling direction. That is why the book pays attention to central bank independence, public debt pressures, and the temptation for governments to rely on the printing press when other choices are difficult. The historical examples in the book reinforce the idea that inflation often emerges when rulers choose short-term relief over long-term stability. King does not reduce everything to one cause, but he makes a clear case that policy mistakes, especially when repeated or denied, are a major driver of inflationary breakdowns. Fourthly, the unequal social damage caused by rising prices. Another important theme is that inflation is not just a macroeconomic statistic. It redistributes power and harm across society. King argues that rising prices tend to hurt people with limited financial buffers most severely, especially those on fixed incomes, lower wages, or with little access to inflation hedges. By contrast, wealthier and more financially sophisticated groups often have more tools to protect themselves, whether through assets, borrowing structures, or portfolio adjustments. This makes inflation a social as well as economic issue. The book, therefore, treats inflation as a source of inequality and political strain, not merely an inconvenience that central banks can later reverse. That perspective helps explain why inflation can destabilize trust in institutions so quickly. When ordinary households experience falling real wages or rising living costs, while officials speak in technical terms about transitory pressures, the gap between policy language and lived experience widens. King uses that gap to show why public credibility matters so much. Lastly, a historical warning aimed at present-day policymakers and investors, the book is structured as a practical warning for the present, even though it draws heavily on history. King wants readers, especially policymakers, investors, and economically engaged general readers, to understand that inflation management requires humility and memory. His historical cases are meant to sharpen judgment about what happens when governments assume that low inflation is permanent, when markets misprice risk, or when officials ignore warning signs until inflation is already embedded. At the same time, the book offers a broader lesson about economic forecasting itself. Long periods of stability can encourage analytical complacency. This is one reason the book stands out from narrower inflation studies. It does not only ask how to measure inflation or how to set interest rates. It asks how societies forget monetary history, how institutions become overconfident, and how that amnesia shapes policy failure. The result is a book that functions as both diagnosis and cautionary history. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want more than a short-term explanation for recent inflation. Economists, policymakers, investors, students of economic history, and informed general readers will all benefit from its long-run perspective and its emphasis on institutional behavior. Its main value is that it ties current inflation to repeated historical patterns of policy error, currency weakness, and overconfidence, rather than treating the episode as a uniquely modern surprise. Readers looking for a technical guide to forecasting or a narrow central banking handbook may find it broader and more interpretive than that. But that is also what makes it distinctive, compared with many inflation books that focus mainly on immediate data. King uses history to explain why inflation surprises even sophisticated institutions and why temporary narratives can become costly mistakes. The practical benefit is better judgment, a clearer sense of how inflation starts, how official complacency develops, and why restoring credibility is often harder than preventing its loss. The intellectual benefit is a stronger framework for thinking about money, policy, and trust over the long term. If you would like to support Stephen D. King, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.